Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be if the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Blake Bettyfield in studio with us. Scouted with the Titans for 19 seasons. Now you can read his work at paulkoharski.com, and you can hear him weekly every Tuesday with us at 11 a.m. Blake, good to see you.
Good to see everyone.
Let's put a quick one to bed. There are people who are concerned that Taywan Taylor is going to key this whole game on Sunday. He is going to tell the Browns everything and score 6 touchdowns. Just how much can a guy who was moved because in part he didn't get everything, can he go tell his new team?
You know, not much. If this was an offensive system that had been in place 3 or 4 or 5 years and everything was set and you kind of had your playmaker set, then he could probably give a good indication to the team, but the team would also be able to see that on film. So there's really not a lot that Taywan can give the Browns. There may be a few things personnel-wise that they want to do in this game. Who's injured? You know, if he knows, you know, is Derrick Henry really not going to be able to perform up to what they expect? There may be some certain things like that that he can shed light on, but for the most part, he's not going to be able to divulge a lot of secrets going into because they didn't put the game plan in before he was cut. They're putting the game plan in now.
Were you surprised to see them deal him and keep Khalif Raymond instead?
I was. I think Taywan is the one vertical threat they have on the team, and I think Khalif Raymond's are available anytime you want to pick somebody off the waiver wire. I like what he did in preseason. He was a really good preseason player, but I see him being inactive in games and not really playing very much, where Taywan can actually do some positive things for you. I think what ended up happening is they just got tired of the drops and the inconsistencies in the route running, but that goes all the way back to college with Taywan.
Rob Moore's pretty sure Khalif Raymond's going to be inactive too. I talked to him yesterday and I said, so talk me through how you guys are going to sort through the thing. And then he proceeded to list off the other 5 receivers as, well, these guys are going to be active every week. Boom, 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 boom. Which leaves Khalif Raymond. And then he's like, and as far as special teams, I don't really know what's going to happen.
So well, that's no surprise, though. Fun.
Yeah, it's no surprise, but it was kind of surprising that he came right out and said it.
Was the Philadelphia game the nail in the coffin for Taywan?
I think it was probably the beginning of the end. Yeah, it was probably the beginning of the end just with, you know, if you watch Taywan play, he can do a lot of positive things. He can run after the catch. Like I said, he can get vertical. But if you watch him throughout games where he's had a high number of snaps, you see him run wrong routes, and you see the quarterback going away from him because he's not in the place he's supposed to be in. Now, that's not going to change when he goes to Cleveland. It may be a little bit better because they do things off script there a little bit more with their quarterback, but Marcus likes players that are where they're supposed to be, the correct depth on the route, getting open in zone coverage, being able to uncover yourself. He will look away from players that can't do that. You saw that early in Corey Davis's career, and then Corey Davis got better at that. That's why Tajay Sharpe has stuck around as long as he has, because even as a rookie, he was a player that can get open when needed, even though he's not a dynamic player after the catch.
The thing about Taywan Taylor that's intriguing is he's tough to define. Like, he's not some scrub who didn't pan out, because he was big even last year. People forget how big he was offensively in a couple of games. That Philadelphia game, where they converted 3 consecutive fourth downs on that drive to go win it. He was big on that drive. He had a big catch on the sideline. The New York Jets game, I believe it was, where he had over 100 yards receiving on 3 catches, where he actually was a vertical threat in that game. So there have been moments of flashes of him doing some nice things, and then there are moments of him just completely disappearing. And did it just come down to whether or not you're willing to put up with another year of that or not?
Well, and then they added the depth this year with Adam Humphries and A.J. Brown. So you added 2 players that are going to push him down.
They're looking at him as inactive?
He would have been inactive this week. I thought he would at least make the team and be a situational player if they needed someone to stretch a field. This week probably would not have been that week versus Cleveland.
Yeah.
But going forward, yeah, but see, your depth is actually hurt because of this move as well. Because, you know, if you end up having a couple of issues, whether A.J. Brown just doesn't get up to speed, being a rookie, you have an injury at some point, you want that type player to be active at some point in games. Where Khalif Raymond, what is he going to really bring? Is he going to be more of a Cam Batson type player, run screens, short passes, come back off the field? I think that's probably going to be more of his role.
At least this amounts to a Reggie Gilbert for Taywan Taylor trade, provided that Reggie Gilbert meets the conditions that have the Titans give up a seventh. Then they get a seventh for Taywan Taylor. So they wind up whole, so to speak, and they do add to a position that's thin in the outside linebacker spot, technically take away from a position they feel pretty good about at wide receiver.
Well, if you think of it that way, if you think of switching out your sixth receiver in Taywan Taylor for possibly a fourth outside linebacker in Reggie Gilbert, that's a good switch out, okay? Because you're getting a player that's going to be active every game in Reggie Gilbert than a player that's just going to be situational in Taywan Taylor. But you also have to look at the value of what Taywan Taylor was, third round pick that's no longer on the team. And Gilbert was kind of an undrafted guy that's kind of didn't fit in with Green Bay anymore.
You like Gilbert? Vrabel said when he was in Houston, they were choosing between Gilbert and Brendan Scarlett and went with Brendan Scarlett there. I don't know what's become of Brendan Scarlett. And Robinson said on the telecast that they had an eye on Reggie Gilbert here for some time. It's somebody that he was looking at. I don't know if he was here when Gilbert came out or if he wasn't here yet. But it sounds like both of them liked him from different vantage points.
You know,
so we're pleased to wind up with him.
Yeah, Brandon Scarlett's going to be the starting outside linebacker with the Texans. He just got a contract extension a couple days ago. But Reggie Gilbert is a player that's a little bit different than what they have. So a little bit more like what Derek Morgan brought to the table a few years ago, where they could rush him inside and out. You saw that in preseason games this year and in some games where Gilbert could line up over the defensive tackle. They could run games on the inside. You saw Derek Morgan do that a few years ago. I think that's probably what they're looking at there with a Reggie Gilbert. Bigger player, you're talking about the 260 to 270 range, where they don't have anybody with that size and strength. Sharif Finch is probably your next biggest outside linebacker. So he does bring something that they don't have already, which should be a definite rundown player that could give you a little bit of push, more of a power rush type rusher.
Any other big surprises on the roster? Quisenberry making the roster surprise you?
Yeah, that one really surprised me just because where he played in the preseason, how he played in the preseason wasn't really, didn't jump out to you and say he's going to make the team or even got a lot of snaps with the first couple of groups. You know, he's just a player. He's just a guy. And I expect him to be cut when Taylor Lewan comes back. Corey Levin, obviously not making the team, was a big surprise to me.
And then it opens your eyes as soon as Denver takes him.
Yes.
You say, well, Mike Munchak's stamp of approval right there. I thought it was really surprising. Then when
too.
I see him picked up, I go, ooh, well, then somebody really good likes him.
Well, Corey Levin played very well this preseason. I said it in my articles on paulkaharski.com and here on Tuesdays that, you know, he really improved his game, especially in the run blocking part of the game. I thought he looked better. Now you can tell what the Titans are somewhat doing on the offensive line. When they got rid of Josh Klein a year ago, Josh was an undersized guard, 295, 300 pounds. Levin's an undersized center. They're going a little bit bigger. Saffold is a bigger guard on the left side. On the right side, Pamphile and even Jameel Douglas, who will now be the backup center guard, is a bigger player, more physical type presence. But one thing you never want to have on a roster is your backup center is really a guard that's going to have to go into center. You want a natural center. Ben Jones happens to get lost for 4 to 5 games. Now you're playing with a guard at one of the most important positions on the field, and that's center. He has to make the calls and the checks, and that's a big, big jump for a former guard.
What are your thoughts on Ben Jones and the extension?
You know, I thought if you look at it from a personnel standpoint, not necessarily his skill set, but you look at what when you start to look at extensions, you look at who is available in the draft. And in my estimation, going over the prospects for the draft of next year, you see only one center that could possibly be drafted in the first two rounds. So you're not going to get a starting level center in the first two rounds, and probably not going to get one in the third round either. And then you look in free agency, and I saw Mike Pouncey just got a contract extension today. He was the only really viable starting center that was still available in free agency. So that was probably a smart move to go ahead and extend him now instead of putting yourself in a hole later because there's no draft choices and no players in free agency.
Blake, what scares you the most about the Cleveland Browns and what they bring to the field on Sunday?
You know, I think this year compared to what they had last year, it's the ability of their quarterback to make plays as a play breaks down. Very similar to what Deshaun Watson does. He can escape in the pocket. He can extend plays with his legs. But he's, just like Deshaun, always looking downfield to make a throw. Now this year he has different receivers. Like Deshaun Watson has DeAndre Hopkins to get open. Now he has Odell Beckham Jr. and Jarvis Landry. He has not just Jarvis Landry. He has two options now to get open as he scrambles and moves around. It's hard to cover Odell Beckham Jr. on a three-step drop by himself. But if you're creating more time to run his route, it's daggum near impossible to cover an Odell Beckham Jr. That's what would scare me the most for our Cleveland Browns team is the ability of the quarterback to extend plays.
What's the approach then in defending Odell Beckham Jr.?
Well, the approach is to bracket him and make Jarvis Landry beat you. Jarvis Landry is only going to beat you on short, intermediate routes. Odell Beckham can beat you on deep routes, short, intermediate, run after the catch. He can do it all. It's why he's one of the better receivers in the league, so he can do it all. You can bracket him, take him away, and you're going to have to take away the run game and the short passing game with Jarvis Landry. Jarvis Landry is really he's better inside, working the inside, short stick routes, moving the chains. That's what he's best at. So instead of beating you with the big plays with Odell, you know, you're going to have to live with the other stuff. And that's why they went out and got a player like OBJ.
My bad. How do you cover OBJ? Are you putting a Dory on him?
I don't think, no, I would not. Not what I've seen out of preseason. I saw too many inconsistencies out of a Dory. Now, speed-wise, he can match, and you like that. And I saw that a little bit last year. But this year, Dory was a little too inconsistent. I don't think you can do that this year where, especially versus Cleveland, where they actually have the two options at receiver. And then really a third with Higgins. I mean, they have a nice group. Then the tight end in Joku. I mean, they actually have a good group and a running game in Chubb, you know, so they actually have players at every level to have success. So it would be hard just to try to match up one on one and say, Adoree, take Odell away.
So when you say bracket.
You play sides?
Yeah, he said he would bracket Odell Beckham Jr. earlier. So when
safety
you bracket
over the
him,
top, yeah, very similar to what the Patriots do. You watch the Patriots do it last year with DeAndre Hopkins. They just try to bracket DeAndre Hopkins, take him away, and make someone else beat them.
So would you put Logan Ryan on Jarvis Landry?
That's a good matchup. Speed-wise, instincts, all the very similar
type players.
Both players
know each other well.
Yeah, too. I think that's a good matchup for the Titans, and it'd actually be a good competition.
Blake Bedingfield in studio with us. Baker Mayfield, give us the scouting report. How do you attack the quarterback just in general for Cleveland?
Keep him in the pocket. You know, don't let him get outside. Don't let him create his own passing lanes. That's what he's very good at. He moves enough in the pocket where being a shorter quarterback, he and Breeze and players like that, they create their own passing lanes by movement. And what they do is not only does the offensive line do it, but the quarterbacks can do it. So the rushes from the inside, which really plays into what the Titans want to do with a Rashawn Evans or Jayon Brown, rushing linebackers from the inside. Even every now and then a Logan Ryan coming inside. You saw that that rush they had in the preseason a couple of times where the outside linebacker would go wide and they would rush a nickel corner inside. Those are good things to keep him in the pocket and make him make throws from the pocket. Not let him extend plays like you want to. He's going to have some pressure on him, and you're going to have to give up something in the passing game, whether it's the tight end or Landry, Odell at times. But you're going to have to bring pressure and keep him inside that pocket, tackle-to-tackle box.
Are you okay with him taking the chances, the gunslinger mentality?
He's going to do it. He's going to do it, and then you have to have coverage over the top to combat that. And I really worry about the tight end because, you know, when you have a safety that's going to go over, and if he's going to bracket Odell Beckham Jr. and he's going to pay attention to him, you're giving up those seam routes to Njoku, who's got speed to get downfield.
I wonder if that's where Amani Hooker can factor in.
It's a big ask in game one. Big ask to.
I mean, if you're using Byard for the bracket on Beckham,
and Vaccaro's still got to be there in the run game. Right. You know, there's things you're gonna whenever you bring pressure, there's something you're giving up, and you're going to have to match man-to-man with someone. That's where a Jarvis Landry could have big catches, or a Higgins on the outside running those deep posts, which the Titans had problems with in preseason.
Greg Robinson, to me, is a huge weakness for Cleveland. Can Wake and Sharif Finch, can they do enough to exploit that weakness that Cleveland has?
You know, I think Wake can for sure, just because of his ability to rush. Wake has got he's a combination power rusher now, as he's gotten older, but he can still get the edge as well, and he can work inside and out on his rush. So he can really get Greg Robinson off balance, and that's what you have to do. He's a big, massive, wide body man that actually has good feet for his size. The problem is he'll overset at times, and he's not really consistent with his technique. Never has been. Coming out of Auburn, he never really has been, and really hasn't caught up to that. So he can be exposed, especially by a veteran-type pass rusher like a Wake. I really see him being able to give Greg Robinson fits. And if that happens, then now you're keeping in a back, now you're keeping in a tight end to chip on a Cameron Wake or a Harold Landry.
And you mentioned the run game with Chubb. For all the talk about their receivers, I've always thought they're going to try to run the football first in this game, open things up a bit on the outside against the Titans defense. And knowing Freddie Kitchens, is that what you think they'll try to do?
I think short passing game and I'm talking about short passing game to Landry. You know, those little 4 or 5 yard hitches that he runs are great. That's just like a nice run play. Really, when they do that with Landry.
But
also try to get Chubb going. Okay. Yeah, if you can start to wear down that defense, which is what you want to do, that's what Cleveland will try to do. And then they start to open things up with Odell on the outside.
They've got Titans have 6 defensive linemen. So often, there are only 2 on the field. You think it's game by game? How many are active on a Sunday?
You know, this year, I could see scenarios where they have 3. You know, you've seen Jarrell play a little bit in preseason. How many snaps is he ready to go? That's the key to me. When you have a Daquan and an Austin Johnson, you're really getting run down players there. You're not really getting a pass rush from those two. So do you want to keep a Urban up or a Dickerson up? If you're only going to keep 4 up, then it's probably going to be Urban because of his size, his ability to play both. His ability to rush a passer with some length, especially versus a shorter quarterback. And then keep the 2 rundown players and Jarrell up. So you could easily keep 4 up and have a nice rotation. Jarrell played a high number of snaps in every game last year, and I expect if he's healthy, he's going to do that again.
You don't see it being 5, though, hardly.
I don't see a reason to keep 5 because they have the Sharif Finches, they have the Cameron Wakes, Harold Landry. Those guys are going to be up, and they're going to be playing on that edge.
So it'd be Mac down, and then it'd be...
I would think a Dickerson down, probably to start the season. He's, you know, just because of what Urban can bring versus a shorter quarterback.
Like Harold Landry, we have not seen play in a preseason game. His matchup this week, what can you tell us about Chris Hubbard, the right tackle for Cleveland, and the matchup we should see with Harold Landry?
You know, I think for Harold... with his kind of signature outside bend pass rush that he has to go around the edge, should work versus a Chris Hubbard. Chris is a tall, long-legged, and stiff in his lower body type tackle. He wants to get his hands on you quick, but one thing Harold has is that bend around the edge. And if supposedly Harold's worked on a counter move, and if he has a counter move where he can go inside and out, you're talking about someone that really can give a lot of pressure into Baker's face, which is what you want to see coming from that left side. So, you know, the other problem they have is their right guard position with Eric Kush, and I expect Jarrell Casey on him as much as possible. He's not going to be a player that's going to handle Jarrell one-on-one. You can only block one of them with a double team. You can't block both of them. So if you put Jarrell on Kush and Harold on Hubbard, you know, somebody's going to have to be single blocked, and, you know, they can have a lot of success with that.
So what I'm hearing is Landry should win his matchup most of the time. Casey should win that matchup inside against Kush. And Wake against Greg Robinson, that should be a win too. So the Titans' defensive line should match up well against what Cleveland does up front.
Should match up well. You know, the X factor is always the quarterback. He's not going to be where he's supposed to be. And those are the problems when you deal with the Deshaun Watsons and the Baker Mayfields. They're not where they're supposed to be. They're not at their 3-step drop, their 5-step. They're moving in the pocket. They're moving up in the pocket. They're moving out of the pocket. to create more time for their good receivers to get open. And that's what becomes the issue when you face those kind of quarterbacks. That's why a lesser offensive line, you can survive at times because of the quarterback's movement.
How big of a variable is a first-time head coach when you're going into a game? And because we're looking at all this from a player perspective and scouting out the players, but when you don't know because you haven't seen what a new head coach brings, how difficult is that?
I think it's huge. I mean, especially when they didn't play a lot, like you said, in preseason. And you have veteran players that are ready to perform now. Odell Beckham Jr., Jarvis Landry, Baker Mayfield's in his second year, but Myles Garrett. Go through the list of players. These guys are ready to perform and win now. And their coach is going to get his feet wet for the first time this Sunday. And no one really knows what to expect. How's he going to handle? Is he going to pay more attention to the offense and the defensive coordinator is going to run the show on that side of the ball? What's going to be his role as a head coach? We've seen it with different head coaches that an offensive guy will pay more attention to the offense. But, you know, do they really have that defense that's ready to roll by themselves? Can he be a manager of the game? If it comes down to a close game, which I expect this to be, I don't expect this to be a runaway on one way or the other. So, you know, it's going to be a lot for that first-time head coach.
We've discussed a lot of the Titans' defense against Cleveland's offense so far. But we know for the Titans to have success, more success than what they did last year, they're going to have to put up more points. The defense should be fine over the course of the season. So let's just look at it from the Cleveland matchup. Titans' offense, Mariota against what he's going to see in the Cleveland secondary. Up front in the run game for Derrick Henry, what stands out to you against the matchup against Cleveland?
You know, I think the run game is there. And the reason I say that is they're built to rush the passer. Myles Garrett's a good player. He's a two-way player, run and pass. Olivia Vernon's more of a pass rusher, okay? Sheldon Richardson has never been a defensive tackle that liked to mix it up versus double teams. And they have one run-stuffing defensive tackle in Larry Ogunjobi from Charlotte, which is Nate Davis's school. So, you know, that is what they're built in their front four, more pass rush than rundown, more penetrating those gaps and trying to create. But when you've got a running back like a Derrick Henry who's more downhill, you can have a lot of success versus those. Their linebackers are not big, physical, clean up things on the inside with Joe Sherbert. Joe is a smart, instinctive linebacker that's good in run and pass, probably better as a pass than he is run. He's not going to be filling a lot of gaps. And I think that's where the Titans can have a lot of success. The question is how many snaps can Derek have after not participating in preseason and having a calf injury? What type of shape is he going to be in going forward? Can he carry the ball just 10 to 12 times, or is he going to be an 18 to 20 carry back?
What does it tell you about maybe the mindset of the leadership of this team, the team builders, the roster building, that we can't, they've done a lot here, obviously. We come into the off season saying, hey, offensive line and pass rush are the two big concerns. Here we are a couple days before the opener, and offensive line and pass rush are the big concerns.
You know, I think that's a concern. I mean, you know, you go into this draft process, free agency, and you have issues, and you didn't clean up all the issues. You know, the one thing about creating a team with depth is not having these problems, not having this right guard issue for the, you know, fifth, sixth year in a row. We're still sitting here and wondering who the right guard is because Nate Davis is not healthy. But really, was Nate Davis going to be the guy? You're talking about a third-round pick. Not necessarily when you take a guy in the third round, is he a designated starter on your team? Not on a division, top division team, is a third round pick a designated starter. So, you know, you start to look and you say the pass rush is an issue. They went out and got Wake and they have Harold Landry, but really not that depth at that position, you know, to say we've cleaned up our pass rush. Jeffrey Simmons is an excellent pick if he's healthy. He helps the interior pass rush. But going in, you knew he wasn't going to be healthy. So you didn't really take care of those problems when you had those opportunities in the draft and free agency.
I talked yesterday to Humphreys, to Davis, to A.J. Brown. You know how I feel about the wide receivers over time here. And I talked to them about this, the stigma and the bad mojo of that group over time. And I need to see it to believe it, the output. But I do feel like there's an up arrow. In part, because Humphrey's veteran production and tailored to kind of what Marcus can do well. Brown different than anybody they have. And because they're talking about three wide, or they're not talking about it, but the, you know, that depth chart doesn't mean a lot, but it says three wide. They've never been three wide. And it's not just the depth chart. They've rolled out three wide. It looks like they could be three wide. Modern structure, modern usage. How much, you know, Brown said that mojo's gone. You know, I haven't been here for all of that, and we'll win any way we can, and yada, yada. But the mojo, and Humphrey said, it's our job to get rid of the stigma. How much you think this group is different than everything you've seen for all your time here?
You know,
there's been a lot of bad receivers.
I think when you look at what Adam Humphreys does, okay, I think that's the singular player that they brought in that I say can help the quarterback and help the other receivers, okay? Forget where they're drafted. Forget where they're paid. Adam Humphreys is going to catch a lot of balls this year in this offense. He's going to, because he has in the past. Track record says he will. Okay, and what Marcus likes to do is get the ball out of his hand quick. Adam Humphreys is going to be that outlet, along with Delanie Walker, which we know what he can do because he also has a track record. Okay, if you just go with what they've done in the past, Corey Davis will probably be around that 60 catch range again. Okay, he'll catch some good passes at times. And at times he'll disappear. That's just what he's done. That's the track record, okay? But bringing in Adam Humphreys really helps this offense move the ball. They're going to have to be a move-the-chains type offense. They don't have the big playmaking threats down the field or a player that can take a quick hitch and score. They don't have those players. They're going to be a move-the-chains with a run game and now with Delanie and Adam Humphreys. And what A.J. Brown and Corey Davis can give you and Tajay Sharpe in certain games, because he's a viable veteran type receiver. This is a much better group than they've had in the last few years. Okay. It's a deeper group. First of all, even subtracting a Taywan Taylor, it's a deeper group, but we're not sure what AJ Brown can give you yet. I'm not quite sure I'm ready to say he's a full-time starter or going to be a big time playmaker yet. I haven't seen it in preseason. You know, you're talking about a guy that's playing the outside now. He can be a big physical threat versus some teams. But I'm not ready to say, but I think Corey Davis should have a better year with Adam Humphreys on the inside, opening things behind the second level of the defense, because Adam's going to create so much action from the linebackers and the safeties. And then obviously, you know, Delanie Walker coming back really is just adding two players.
Blake, how do the Titans stop Myles Garrett?
You know, I think they're going to have to, going back to the run game, going to have to run the ball and run it at him. You know, that's going to be something where you're going to have to wear Myles Garrett down. Also, keep him off balance. You know, you don't want him just pinning his ears back coming because you're in a 3rd-and-8, 3rd-and-9 situation. That's not going to be good. They're going to have to do different things, whether they run screens to his side, tight end screens, screens to Deion Lewis, a receiver screen. Keep him, again, off balance, not just coming at the quarterback. They're going to have to chip him at times. That's something Myles is not going to like. Myles is a three-way pass rusher. He can bull rush you. He can power rush. He can rush you inside and outside. So he's a combination rusher, and that's what makes him the elite-level type player. So they're going to have to really scheme up and do a lot of different things, whether, like I said, chip, run a screen to Deion Lewis, tight end screen to his side, do some things where it starts to wear him out. But the run game is probably the most important thing.
Dennis Kelly didn't practice yesterday. Vrabel basically said, don't panic. But if you're looking at worst-case scenario, we've seen it happen early in the season last year. If Dennis Kelly was not available, what do you do personnel-wise there? You plug in Quisenberry? Do you move Conklin? Do you move Pomfield and start Douglas?
You move Pomfield to left tackle and start Douglas. That's what you're going to have to do in that situation. Pomfield will give you the ability to hold up. But they're going to have to double team consistently if that happens. You know, Kelly can get away with certain things because of his size and strength, but they're going to have to help him as well. But if you go down to your fourth tackle, he's really going to have a lot of help.
So they're going to help with Myles Garrett. Mm-hmm. Knowing they're going to have to account for two people on Garrett in some instances, if not all. Who has to win their one-on-one battles up front of the offensive line? Who are you counting on play after play to win one-on-one?
That's going to be the right guard. Right guard Kevin Pamfield is going to have to hold up versus Sheldon Richardson. That's where they're going to put him. They're going to have Olivier Vernon on the other side going against Conklin. Conklin's going to have his hand full with him. And
but Conklin's been fine this preseason.
He's been very good this preseason. He's looked strong. He's looked good. He's very, very consistent. I think he's really looked as good as he has in a long time. So
he's the biggest answer we've gotten on any of the questions.
Agreed. Agreed. Where does Pomfield match up against Sheldon Richardson one-on-one?
Not very well in pass rush situations. Sheldon's not a very good run-down player. So Pomfield will match up in the run game. He will be able to get a body on a body and move him out of the way. In the pass game, he's going to have help from Ben Jones. Okay, so Ben's going to have to look his direction and help, because the one thing Richardson does is he's a one-on-one inside pass rusher. He can really jump gaps and move, and that's where Pomfield has struggled not only in the past but this preseason, is people getting on his edge, getting on one side or the other, and running the crease to the quarterback, and that's where he struggled.
So you're confident in Roger Saffold at left guard?
Because he's not going to have someone on top of him that's a really good pass rusher at defensive tackle. Now, they're going to scheme some things up. And
do they
try
move
to,
around a lot?
They do move around, but they're not going to flip Garrett. I think they're going to keep him on that side and keep Vernon on his side. But they will move inside. But they're going to run some games on the inside, too, with a blitzing linebacker, especially if they see Jones peeking too much to one side. And then Saffold's going to have to block his guy, and then there's going to be a running back that can't go out in the pass pattern or chip on Myles Garrett. That's how you combat that, is by blitzing some of those inside backers.
We've seen Jarvis Landry throw some passes on some end-arounds and different things with players that have been on separate rosters, now join Cleveland. Are you expecting some trickery early, some surprises early from Cleveland?
I would be shocked to see that, because I think they have the players now to run a traditional offense, to not have to resort to that type of trickery. Now, if you're feeling good about your game plan, then, yeah, you can run some of those, because Odell can throw as well. You've got some good athletes out of the receiver position that can run some reverse passes and really open up some things down the field. But if you're feeling good about where you are game plan-wise, running pass, then you can do that and not really feel like a mistake's going to hurt you.
I just have this feeling that they're coming out with something like that early.
And they very well could, but, you know, especially since they've hidden a lot in the preseason, but – and they have the athletes that can do it.
Well, they're a cocky offense.
They are a cocky offense. But, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how they play more in the traditional style and how they all use their weapons. How's Baker going to use those weapons? I think that's going to be important to see early on.
You've repeatedly written at my site about Brett Kern being the MVP of this team. Expand on that in terms of what level of weapon he is for them, the bailout factor, the difficulty that he gives people in retrieving his punts.
You know, he does so many things well, and probably the most important thing is not only can he bail out a three and out from the offense, but he can really give your defense, which is one of your strengths of your team, the opportunity to make the opposing offense go 90 yards. To have success. And that really can wear down. It has these effects that if a great defense has a great punter, then you can pin those teams back. And now your offense is in a situation to not have to drive the field. So having an MVP caliber punter, an all-pro type punter like Brett Kern, someone that can not only pin the ball inside the 20, inside the 10, but can give you a deep one at times when you're backed up into your own territory, is invaluable. It's worth every dollar they're spending on the guy, and then more, because of what it does for a very good defense and an offense that really needs a short field at times.
I talk about the wide receiver trouble this team has had for 20 years. Hendrick, Kern, back-to-back, there's been no punting question ever.
You know, and Hendrick was that exact same player. When you needed a punt, late in Hendrick's career, when you needed a punt, he could come up with a 65, 70-yarder and pin the offense back. And he also was outstanding at putting the ball inside the 10 and 15-yard line. And those were great defenses we had back then as well, which really played into what the style of the team wanted with the punter by himself.
You know, there are a lot of unknowns for the Titans. We mentioned Landry and Henry and whether or not they're ready to go week one. The big unknown with Cleveland is Freddie Kitchen as their head coach. And there will be some decision at some point during these four quarters where that head coach will give them momentum or take away something that they have going.
You know, the one thing you have when you have an offensive or offensive coordinator type head coach coming into his first, is he going to be too aggressive? You know, now that he's got the keys to the car and he can call any play he wants, and he has all these nice shiny little weapons he has, is he going to be too aggressive and play into what the Titans want? Meaning, you know, you've got Kevin Byard and Kenny Vaccaro. You've got those guys on the back end to take care of a mistake. Plus, how influenced is the head coach by the quarterback who has that same mentality of let's be aggressive and extend plays downfield?
That's what got him the job.
Exactly. So, you know, are those things going to come up now that he's a head coach? Possibly. And that's going to play out really quick versus the Titans on Sunday.
One or two matchups specifically that can help win this game for Tennessee?
You know, I think it'll be interesting to see who's going to cover or how they're going to cover Odell Beckham Jr. I think he could have a big day if he's allowed to run free. I think the other one is the interior offensive line. You know, how are they going to handle the Sheldon Richardson? How are they going to handle the games that are being run? They didn't have a very good preseason. They didn't all work together all the time. So, you know, it's kind of one of those things. Now they're solidified. Now that you got your five group, how are they going to protect the quarterback? More than just a kind of a one-on-one matchup, but what the Titans offense wants to do versus Cleveland, I think it's going to be run heavy.
Final thing for you. In the biggest wins last year, Corey Davis was targeted double-digit times. Is this one of those games?
You know, I think it can be. I don't really think it will be, though. I think you're going to see a lot of Delaney, a lot of Adam Humphrey. I think you're going to see the short passing game to go along with the run game. I don't see Corey being targeted that many times in this game. I could be wrong, but, you know, I see unless they jump on Adam and jump on Delaney quick and
can take away the run game. Two players they didn't have for New England and Philadelphia. Right.
But I really like that short passing game from Marcus. Getting the ball out of his hand quick. Keeping the defense off balance, run pass, and that's the way to kind of wear them down, have long drives, keep that offense off the field as well.
Week one is here. Preparation is here. Blake, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Blake Bedingfield, our scout. He's in studio with us every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Greg Cosell's Wednesday at 12:15.
Let's hope the Titan season isn't ruined in week one.
No alignment issues. And
last year they gave it a shot.
All joy was zapped on Saturday afternoon.
My. Last year they gave it a shot.
Oh, yeah. They did.
Them and the weather.
Oh, hey, Blake, is your mic still on over there?
Yes.
Clowney to Seattle. I teased that. Do you like that or no?
You know, I like it for Seattle.
Okay.
Don't like it for Houston. I think it's hard to give up a pass rusher, especially an elite level type pass rusher. I know he's, you know, 9.5 sacks, but, you know, you're talking about that's a premium position to come away with two backups at the position and then a draft choice that you could have easily gotten as a compensatory pick.
Real quick, how about that price tag for Tunsil? Plus the leverage.
You know what? When you're a head coach, you make that trade because you don't care. You're putting players on the field, but when you're an organization and now you want to build, because they're not deep at a lot of positions, and that's really going to affect their depth going forward. But what's going to be even more important is what do they do in the pro scouting aspect over the next few years, because they're void of those draft choices. How good are they going to be in free agency to identify players, not have to overpay for everyone, but identify good pro free agents?
Midday 180 served up by Wendy's, home of the $5 Biggie Bag.